Lord God, now we invite your Holy Spirit to come. Come and be among us, to be in this place among us. You say where two or more are gathered together, in your name you are in the midst. So come, Holy Spirit. Come with all of your quickening power, so that our coming will not be in vain. We welcome you. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is God Will Always Show Up. And that can be tricky at times, you know, waiting for God to show up. But I promise you that God will show up. Show up when we least expect God. Show up in our circumstances and our situations. I read this reflection about a grieving husband. It says, a grieving husband clings to the promise of heaven. In their book, Building a Church of Small Groups, Bill Donahue and Russ Robin relate the words of Lyman Coleman as he reflected on the death of his beloved wife, Margaret. The most painful decision of my life was asking God to take her home. She had been suffering from repeated brain seizures, and her body was wasted. I whispered in her ear, "Honey, I love you. I love you. Jesus wants you to come home. We are all going to be all right. We give you permission to let go." She closed her eyes and fell asleep. As I write this letter, I realize I'm without my editor, my greatest critic, my teammate, my soulmate, my prayer partner, my partner in everything. We traveled the roads less traveled together in hard times and good times. "Honey, I miss you. I miss you. I miss you," he writes. "I will keep the light. I will keep the light on for the kids. I will be there for friends. And one day, we're going to join you, all of us, because Jesus promised it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints." And so, friends, God will show up. I truly believe that God shows up for us, for all of his children. Doesn't matter who we are, what we have done, where we come from, God will show up in all kinds of circumstances to comfort, to heal, to save, to provide, to protect, and even to take us home. God will show up. But what we do not have control over is, when will God show up? That's a problem, a human problem. Asking the when question, we all do. Waiting for God. When will God show up as we are going through sickness or trials? When does God show up? Is God on our timetable? The next question is, what will God do when God shows up? Because God will show up, and we could be praying for someone to be healed, and we want someone to be healed and be here, stay here with us, and God shows up and do something else. God takes that person home. God heals that person and take them home. God shows up. And then will God show up and do what we're expecting God to do? And then the third question is, how will God show up? Will God show up in the form of a doctor, in the form of someone praying for you? How will all this happen? These are human questions that we all have. I shared this morning, and this is not something that makes me weep. It brings me joy now. It's 4 years, going on 5 years, that when my mother, who was a believer all her life, was ill, got ill, not for long, but one night I had my little talk with God. He had called me from New York. It's about 3 a.m. and said she had been sick again, to take her to the hospital. And I said to God, I know you're God and you're present, and I'm asking you 2 things. God, if this is it for her, then take her home. Let your will be done, because she's ready. She had told everybody she was ready. She wanted to go see Jesus. I says, but if it's not your will to take her home, God, you're going to make her well. I'm asking you, don't let her suffer. I'm just asking you, God, don't make her suffer. We had this conversation for, got to be a couple of hours, as I was weeping before God. One thing I'm asking you, Lord, don't let her suffer. God didn't give me a time or place. That was March, and thanks be to God, by May, she was gone. Going home to be with the Lord. The promise of God. God showing up. Not when we want him, not how we want him, but God will show up. This powerful story in John 11 speaks of this. Remember this story with me now. This long narrative that we just read. This long biblical text. Mary and Martha, who live in Bethany, are some of Jesus' close friends. They send word to him that their brother, whose name is Lazarus, is desperately ill. Please come. We need your help. Hurry. He's sinking fast. Requesting God. We read in the Bible, it says, so the sisters sent a message, Lord, to Jesus, says, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, the illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, God sends you this message. You don't really get it, do you? Because that's not the message you want. And he continues, accordingly, though Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was healed, the scripture says, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, one would tell us that Jesus is on his own timetable because he loved Lazarus, he loved Mary, loved Martha, and he heard that Lazarus was sinking, dying, or very ill. And he waits for 2 days. God shows up on his own timetable, you see. By the time Jesus gets there, Lazarus has died and has been in the grave for 4 days. So he didn't really show up on the second day. It was 4 days later. And Mary and Martha came out to meet Jesus, and they expressed their grief, their overwhelm. Mary said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask for him. How many of us have ever said to God, and maybe it's just me, God, why did this happen? Why is this kid so sick? Why is this child? I remember going out to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Is one of my largest charities, and you go there and they take you around the hospital. And you walk around and you see these beautiful children, heads shaved off, some of them in the bed, and they do a beautiful job out there at St. Jude. And you can't help but saying, God, God, why God? God is big enough for our questions. Let me tell you that. I remember when I was in seminary, I was kind of upset about something with God, or they were speaking about God. I was a little bit upset, and I was saying, why are they calling the Bible a book? And, you know, I was very, because I came out of my church. I remember my professor says, do you know that God is big enough for your own question, for all your questions? God is big enough for that. You could get angry at God for things. You could ask God questions. God is going to love us through it. Here is Martha, who Jesus loved. She, in essence, she's saying to Jesus, why didn't you show up earlier? Why didn't you? And Jesus didn't strike lightning and kill her. You know, we, there are people in the church sometimes who we're so heavenly bound that we're no earthly good. We're so caught up that we forget that the human condition, we have questions, and we, if we can't ask them in the church, and if we can't ask them of the pastors, if we cannot ask them, where are we going to ask them? Right? God, why didn't you show up? My brother is already in the tomb, and he's been there for 4 years. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And anyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe. And certainly we do believe that there's life after death, don't we, as Christian believers? Jesus is saying to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. In essence, he's saying there's life here, and if you don't live here, there is a resurrected life. We don't want to hear that sometimes. We don't want to hear that when we have a loved one who is sick. But it's the truth, isn't it? This is what Jesus promised, that when he shows up for us, he may show up to make us well here, or he may show up to make us well in the resurrected life, in eternity. I was saying, there are two stories I want to share briefly, real stories, real time. I see Mr. Wicks's daughter here, Robin, right? Robin, I kept looking at you, and I said, that's Robin. Trying to remember. And we feel in our hearts that he's journeying to be with the Lord. We could see the signs. And I saw him yesterday. Rob and I have talked about that. We have talked and agreed and decided, and they've decided a family, to tell him to go home to be with the Lord. You can see the signs. We know we've seen the signs, and the hope is that he's going to be with the Lord. We know that. And yesterday I had my iPhone and I was playing songs that I thought he would like. I went on the iPhone and was playing Because He Lives, and I was playing the old Rugged Cross and Nearer My God to Thee, playing it, and I was singing it. That didn't wake him up, me singing it. That, I don't know what will, but I was singing along with the song, and Mr. Wicks didn't say, well, you're out of tune. I'm sure he probably was thinking it, but I was singing along for my own sake, giving us the hope. And even though I'm sad, and I say that to Robin, we are sad, but our hope is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and that there's life everlasting for Mr. Wicks. Amen. That he has ran the race. He will hear the well done. He has done it. He has followed Christ. 95 years in this church, he would remind me that he came here in his mother's womb. 95 years, he has done it. Whatever shortcomings or not shortcomings we have, the Lord knows it. Lord forgives us. Lord loves us. And the Lord is showing up for him. Do you know that the pastor of St. James United Methodist Church out there, a colleague, found out that you know, somebody got him and says there's a Methodist guy, man here, and his little church showed up with some people, and God, and I thought they were going to be showing up to sing. I was going to call them on Monday to tell them thanks. God will show up. Not the way we expect it. Not the way we think it's going to happen. But here it is. He would go to St. James, and there's a Methodist church up the road. I went to try to find it yesterday, but I couldn't. I didn't want to get lost out there. God will show up. And God is going to show up right here for Mary and Martha. And then on Friday, it has been a very heavy week. You know Missy Bartolotto, she and her children are here, both she and her two children, Emily and John. And when Missy wasn't in early, she's always on time, but she wasn't quite early on Friday, so I called her on her cell, and I says, "Is everything all right?" And she was crying. And I says, "What's up, Missy?" And she says, "Oh, it's bad news. One of her children's friend, they play ball together, they play soccer, they play whatever. The young girl is 16 years old. Family with four children, devout Catholic family. Funeral is going to be at home, Holy Family. The girl, at 16 years old, committed suicide. Friday morning, they found her in her bed. She had taken tablets. Seemed as if everything was going right for that girl. But I came to find out yesterday from Missy that they said she had had some depression. She'd always been in Catholic school. They don't know, but she had some depression and was taking some therapy, went to bed, and took tablets. Now, God shows up. How does God show up for that family? God will show up. One could ask the question, like Martha, why didn't you show up before, God? This is what Martha is asking Jesus. Why didn't you show up before the fourth day? Do you think God is listening to this parent? Yes. Do you think Jesus is listening to this parent? Yes. Will God show up for this parent? Yes. God will, through Jesus Christ, show up. Not the way we think, not the way we know. That's why when things like this happen, we have to be silent. It's called a theology of silence or a theology of presence. When you have nothing to say, but to sit there and be with them. And I hope and pray no one tells them that God needed an angel. If I ever hear another person say that, I'm going to strangle them and they're going to become God's angel. If I ever hear anybody says to anybody, you know, God had to take your child home because God needs an angel, it's not true. Because God can make angels. He made a lot of them. And if God needs an angel, God will make an angel. Things happen in life that we don't have answer for, and it's better not to tell people your own made-up theology and let it be. Sit and hold their hands. Sit and listen. Cry with them. And don't explain because you don't have the answer. Because we love to tell people the time when things happen, we could tell them the answer for them, because when it happens to us, we want something different, don't we? God will show up for this family. In that community, that Roman Catholic community at Holy Family, under that priest that I know, God will show up. God will show up in that community to bring them through burying this child. 16 years old, the wake will be tomorrow and the funeral on Tuesday. And I'll show up, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to go to the funeral and sit and pray. I don't know the family, but I know the extended friends, and we will pray. And I'm telling you this so that you could pray for this child. And so here the family and friends have gathered, and in their deep sorrow they begin to weep over the loss of their loved one, Lazarus. Everybody has gathered like we do now. And the Bible tells us the heart of Jesus goes out to them, and Jesus weeps with them. Jesus is weeping now with every person who believes in him and who's suffering. He's weeping with that mother and father now. Weeping. And he weeps with those who grieve. The Bible tells us that he shares our pain. Jesus wept, the shortest verse in the Bible. We've seen him wept before. He wept at the death of the widow of Nain's son. And the Bible says as he weeps, Jesus goes over to the tomb and he said to them, "Roll back the stone," or "take the stone away, roll it back." And Martha, always the realist. Do you know, if you've ever read Martha and Mary, there's a whole teaching I've done many years ago on Martha and Mary. Martha is always trying to correct. Mary just says, "Oh Lord, I'm just going to sit at your feet and hear him," and Martha gets upset. Martha's always like to tell you that, "Oh, God knows. Well, we all know that God knows. Martha says here, Martha, always a realist and ever ready to speak out, she protests. She's talking to Jesus. She said, but Lord, we can't do that. He has been in a grave for 4 days. By now, there will be a terrible odor. When God shows up in our life, whichever way he's going to do it, we have heard people who have given up to death, and God shows up and gives them life. And Jesus said to her, Martha, other points in the text, he said, Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. Martha, you don't have the answer. Martha, chill out. Jesus says, Martha, only believe and you will see the power of God. Only believe. Church, I encourage you, no matter what we are going through, to believe. And we'll see the power of God. And so they rolled the stone away. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible tells us what an incredible and miraculous and amazing miracle as Lazarus came out and he was bound. And they had to unbind him. And scripture tells us, he says, unbind him and let him go. Unwrap him and set him free. You know, church, there are many folks who are in tombs, you know. We're not just in tombs because we're dead. There are folks who are bound up by many things and need to hear about Jesus. We are bound up in depression, people on the drug addiction, people are in prostitution, people are bound up, you know, Christian believers watching pornography. We are bound up. And only the Lord can set us free. And only we who believe can say to them, be set free by believing in Jesus Christ. Bound up in many things. If truth be told, many folks go to church all the time, but we are bound up in gossip, bound up in lies, bound up in untruths. We are bound up. We are so unhappy because we are bound up in criticism. We're always ready to point a finger at somebody else because we are bound up. We need to be set free. And the Lord is saying today to us, be set free, because I am the resurrection and I am life. I said to someone last week, when people are always pointing at what other people is doing, I said, take the log out of your eye before you take the speck out of their eyes. Fix yourself first, Christian. Let's all fix ourselves first and seek God's face. And in this graphic, dramatic story, three awesome lessons jump out at us. Three great truths emerge which can be so helpful to us today. Number one, Jesus wept with those he loved, and he still does. Jesus still weeps. Weeps when we're hurting. Weeps when we're in pain. Weeps when our children are sick. Jesus still weeps. Point two, Jesus raised people up, and he still does. And the third point, Jesus included others in the healing process, and he still does. And I want to close with a good story about God showing up. Last week, Sunday, my partner in mission, or in trouble, either one, Ellen, we went up to wherever they took us, up in the mountains somewhere, the Poconos, to do. It wasn't fancy. We say the Poconos, and people think we were in a lap of luxury, but they had cabins and bunk beds and things like that, although we had other arrangements. Yeah. But anyway, we were up in the cabin. We were up there, and over 100 of us from different conferences. I want to tell you how God shows up for individuals. And we were from many different conferences throughout it's disaster response and mission. And as we sat in the big room, we always have in the plenary, we have worship. And so we're in this class together, and a young man, tall, kind of redhead, got to be about 6-something, right, Red Ellen? We all are given our names, so I give my name and my church, and she gives, and everybody's given their names in church. And he got up and he says his name is Joshua McPhee. And he's 30 years old. Most of us are older, you know. But he was one of the young ones. And he says, his name is Joshua McPhee. And he says, and I am here today. He says, I've been away from the church. Been away from the church for so long, for a long time, and gone through all stuff. And I've been away, but I'm here because I've given my life back to the Lord. And I'm back in the church, and I want to do something for the Lord. So after he said that, you know, I said, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. I think everybody there was, lots of pastors and later were there, just so pleased that this 30-year-old guy, you could see he had the tattoos and everything, you know, the young people do, and he had his, like the man bun and the rest of the hair, and just a good-looking young man. So came over to me, and he came to our table, and he said to me, you're from Hicksville United Methodist Church. And I said, yes. He says, you know that my mother came out of that church. His grandmother and his grandfather are Lee, Warren and somebody Lee, and June Lee. Warren and June Lee, you know, I knew somebody would know them. I went to the book to find Warren and June Lee, and his mother is Laura, I believe, or somebody, I wrote the name down, I forget now. And they were here. And he says, I can't believe the church is still here. He says, can you send me something? And I found their pictures in the book. I says, you, and he says, yes. I says, I've got to talk to you. He says, he got all emotional. He says, I can't believe they came out of that church. And here you are. So at lunchtime the next day, I said to Ellen, I got to speak to this young man. Got to come to find out his father is a pastor. He's a district superintendent in the New England Conference. I think he's a little bit estranged from his father, but we began to speak. His father's been a lifelong pastor, and he said to me, we sat down at lunch, and I said to him, I says, you know, Josh, Jacob, they call him Jake. I says, Jake, I really want to talk to you before I leave. And I says, tell me, how did you come back? And he says, you know, I've done everything. Partying, stayed away from the church, didn't believe in God, was not going to do anything with God. And then he says, I began to read, and he read some things from C.S. Lewis and some other things, and read it. It says, one day he was looking up at the stars and look at the universe, and all of a sudden he realized that there's got to be a God. 30 years old, there's got to be a God. He says, I'm a pastor's kid. My father's been a pastor. He says, I've done all the science stuff and all of that. And he says, I believe that there's got to be a God. And now I'm back in church. I want to do something. I got to do something for God. God showed up for that young man at 30. Been brought up in the church. God showed up. And I says, Jake, can I pray for you? I was so excited, I was crying by that time. I always get emotional with things like that. Right there in that lunchroom with Ellen standing there, I began to pray for Jake, that God, who had begun a good thing in him, would bring it into completion. And Jake began to cry. We just prayed. I says, oh God, that you brought him back home. That you took 30 years, but you showed up for him. And this man is now gung-ho for Christ. God will show up. Not only in, I've got his email and I've got his phone number because I'll be tracking him. Huh? To support him. And I'm going to even call his father because I found the father on the New England website because he's a DS. God showed up for this man. This is the hope in Christ that those of us, we are praying for young people. We are praying for children. We are praying for loved ones. We are praying that all of a sudden, when we least expect it, this man had gone through so much. He says, I can't even tell you some of the stuff I've gone through. God showed up for him. And Ellen was, we were all in tears at our little table. She and I only was, as he wept and held my hand. Why? Because God touched him. Jesus touched this man's life. Amen. And this is what we have our hope is. So now I've got a new young man that I'm following around. And I will. I hugged and kissed him so many times. I had to let him realize that I was just happy. I'm just happy that you're saved. I'm not kissing you for any particular reason. In case he thinks I'm a cougar or somebody. You know what I mean. I was just happy. You know, this is... I wanted him to be clear that I wasn't a confused pastor. I just...
Even when I was leaving, I ran to hug him. I said, oh, this poor guy's going to run away from me. But oh, God knows that I am so, that I was so pleased and my heart was so full to see. I asked him, were you confirmed? He was not confirmed. I think the parents left here before he was, the mother and father are divorced, separated. But what a joyous news that is, that God shows up. Not just when we're sick and dying. He's going to show up. Paul says, for those who have Christ in him, you know, we have life, life eternal, right? Life here on earth and life in heaven. He shows up in the hospital, shows up in the nursing homes, shows up in the, but he shows up in our lives every day. The lives of our children. If we keep praying and keep believing in God, he's going to show up. You can't stop him from showing up. You can't even lock him out. He comes through closed doors. Glory to God. And so we give God thanks and praise. And maybe one day I'm going to get Jacob to come here to visit, to see the place where it began for his family. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness. And so, Robin, God is showing up for your daddy. He's there with him. He's there with you and your brother and sister and the rest of the family. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. He's comforting. He's faithful. He makes promises that he keeps. Amen.
Amen. Amen.